about time for us to get into our Sunday school for this time on the attributes of God. And you have to listen to this old man today. So let me begin by, if anybody don't have an outline, I'd like to begin by reading from Psalm 139, because as we think about God's knowledge, this psalm speaks so directly to the knowledge of God, the attribute of God. And if you have your Bibles and you want to follow, I'll begin with verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank thee as we bow our hearts before thy majesty and thy glory, that thou delightest in thy people when they gather together to learn about thee. We thank thee for all the revelation that thou hast given of thyself in nature, in all thy creative work, in all thy redemptive work. And we thank thee for revealing thyself into thy well, through thy well-beloved Son, in whose name I pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. Give us understanding as we take this hour to study on the attribute of thy knowledge. Oh, give us a heart to understand and know that in thee is all the knowledge that we need to have, and that as we seek thee as silver and as we search for wisdom as for hidden treasure, then we shall understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Oh, may that be true with each one of us here this afternoon as we commit this time to thee in Jesus' precious name. Amen. When I was in my first pastorate, there was an elderly couple. I think I was in my 60s and they were in their 80s. And well, now I'm in my 80s, and it's amazing how many times I lose something. When I was younger, I used to just grimace and just hunt and hunt and hunt and not, couldn't find it. But now, because I'm older, I have sense enough to get on my knees and pray. And every time I lose something and pray to the Lord, he directs me where it is, because he knows where it is. He has that knowledge of where it is. And I just encourage you that when you can't find something, don't do like I did. Just spend hours just trying to find something that can't be found through your human undertaking. But just get to your knees and pray. The Lord knows where it is. All right? Let's look at our first Roman number one, where we have God's knowledge defined. This was by, as you see, the interpretations by Wayne Grudem. He says, God fully knows himself and all things actual and possible in one simple and eternal act. And 1 Corinthians 10:11 speaks like this. The Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God which is in him. So we can understand why he came to that definition under B. Whatever knowledge we have, we must depend upon God. Notice I have that Hebrews 2, 4, and 5. Then it is right to say that God's own knowledge is dependent upon God. Some years ago, Pastor Bob gave me the book, The Doctrine of God. And some of my notes that you'll have come from either Wayne Grudem or John Frame, and this is I just wanted, so I don't always have to quote, that a lot of the material here is from Wayne Grudem and John Frame. But I quoted this in my prayer, Proverbs 2, 4, and 5. Memorize this. It was just a couple months ago that I was reading the book of Proverbs, and I came across this verse. Now listen again. If any man seek wisdom as for silver, and search for her as for hid treasure, then you shall understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. I'd like you to memorize that, because as we talk about the knowledge, God's knowledge, if we want his knowledge, to find that knowledge, we have to reverence him. We have to fear him. And anytime you have any questions, please, please engage. I like when there are questions where if you don't understand something very clearly or you want to contribute, I love that. So we want that interaction. Under C, therefore, his knowledge depends only upon himself. And well, let me ask you this question. If God is infinite, then what about his knowledge? His knowledge is infinite, isn't it? In other words, he is all knowledge. Well, you say, already I know that. But sometimes we live like God doesn't know the way we live our lives. Like we're going through a trial. Sometimes we think he don't understand. Yes, he understands perfectly. And he wants us to learn to trust him and look to him, not look to man. And one of the things I appreciated Pastor Bob's message today very much, because years ago, I brought a message from Romans 2 called Christianity Losing Its Influence. And what he did, he's brought that out so clearly today. And I think one of the things, the reason we're losing our influence, we're forgetting or not being careful about our relationship with the God that we speak from our mouth. He wants to have an intimate relationship with him. And the way we draw closer to him, the more he's going to impart knowledge to us, because he's the God of all knowledge. God knows all things by knowing himself and knowing his plan for the universe. And what is that plan? What is his plan for the universe? What does he promise? Is his plan for the universe this sin-cursed earth and this sin-cursed world? No, his plan is a new heaven and a new earth and a new world wherein dwelleth righteousness. That's his plan. He's working all things out. And just think of his knowledge as he's working all this out. Look at Roman numeral 2. God's knowledge is seen. You might wonder, why do I have God's knowledge in his word, and God communicates his knowledge through speech, and God's knowledge is based upon truth? Why don't I just put it under word? Because in going through the books that I have just spoken about, they address each one of these and makes everyone more clear. And so that's the reason I took that time to make it separate. His word is his self-expression. Let me give you an example of his self-expression. God sent Moses to speak for him before Pharaoh. And Moses said, "Thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may go out and worship me in the wilderness." That was his self-expression from through Moses to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said, "Who's the Lord that I should obey him?" Well, he soon found out. Yes, God, under B, God never speaks without purpose. David understood that. I want someone to read Psalm 119, verse 73. Psalm 119, verse 73. Let me paraphrase that. God is saying, David is saying, "Lord, you made me. You know what is best for me. Now help me to understand that what you have given is for a purpose. And let me embrace what you have given to me so I can apply it to my daily life." Because David, the Lord knows about all about each one of us. That's how superior his knowledge is. He knows intimately each one of us. All his words are based on infinite knowledge. There is not a thing that he doesn't know. God's knowledge is seen in his decrees that Anthony spoke about last week. Let me share with you an example. "Will you not fear me, saith the Lord? Will you not tremble at my presence? I have set the sand as a bound for the sea by a perpetual decree that regardless how much the waters rage and toss, they cannot pass over." Now just think of the knowledge that God placing that sand. Can you imagine going to the seashore and have nothing but dirt? But no, he placed sand around the water so we can enjoy ourselves when we go to the seashore. But that's a bound so that the waters cannot pass over. You might say, what about Texas? What about Florida? What about Puerto Rico? Well, when God wants to get our attention, he can rescind that decree to get our attention. Every time you see a calamity, you have to remember one thing. God is the sovereign over that. He knows about the hurricanes and everything else. He knows about that, and he wants to get our attention. But just think of that knowledge that he has given in his decrees. And then look at under E. His authority is exercised by his knowledge, his law. Someone read Psalm 119, verse 91.
"They continue this day according to your ordinances for all are your servants."
Do you know what he's saying? His knowledge has determined laws to govern his universe. Now just think about that. Just think of the knowledge it takes to establish laws to govern his inanimate universe. And everything works perfectly. Is there any part of his laws that don't govern perfectly? He causes the sun to go around the earth once a year. He causes the moon to go around the earth once every 29 and a half days. All the orbiting of the planets is all done by his laws. And how can he hang the world in space? How can he do that? He is God, but he's also determined laws that affect everything of the planetary system. That takes infinite knowledge. And while we're at it, just take a look at your own self. Just think of how you've been created. Just think of the systems that are in you. Think of the knowledge it took to indwell in us five different systems. The nervous system, the circulatory system, the reproductive system, the digestive system. And there's one more system. What is it? The what? Anyway, you could spend all day on that, because the older I get, the more I just marvel. I just marvel at the way he made this old sinner saved by grace. Just think of the brain, the conscience, just everything. Everything that he put to constitute the human body. It's just amazing. And I'll tell you, the more you learn about God, the more you love him and the more you want to serve him. And by the way, you know what was going through my mind, Pastor Bob, where you're preaching? Seeing then that we have a kingdom that cannot be moved, let us with gratitude serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. I got just burning through my mind as you were sharing about that. By the way, Pastor Bob, your sermon today had a lot of greater impact than mine did years ago. That was really good today, Pastor Bob. Let's go down here to 3. God communicates his knowledge through speech. Now, John Frame, I understand why he done it, because that speech, you know, he was in dialogue with Noah. He was in dialogue with Noah about the state of the world and why he's going to look at, what God will do. That's what, and then he tells what Noah should do. Then his action upon what he said. And you have the scripture references. Then understanding is given to Noah regarding the flood and his covenant with Noah and the future events and time. But now look here. His speech to the Old Testament prophets announced the coming of Christ. And the New Testament reveals the fulfillment of speech uttered through the Old Testament prophets. Someone get 1 Peter 1, 10 to 12. 1 Peter 1, 10 to 12. Thank you, and thank you, Anne-Marie. The reason that I wanted you to take a little time on this is I want you to think about God speaking through his Old Testament prophets. They couldn't grasp what, they believed in Genesis 3:15, there would be one, the seed of the woman would come, but just think, before the cross, they couldn't comprehend. They were searching diligently what manner of time and so forth. But they spoke about the coming of Christ and the knowledge of those in the New Testament. Now they're speaking about the fulfillment of those promises. You know what helps me a lot? What helps me a lot is, and this, I wasn't in the ministry then, but I was in the Giddens. I might have mentioned to you, we have to be always looking. When God, the Bible is God's spoken word written down. And as you read the Bible, just picture him speaking to you personally. Just think of him with infinite knowledge, taking time to speak to you personally. Just let that grab you. Let that grasp you. When you sit down to read the Bible, think, God is speaking to me directly. And he has the knowledge of everything he's sharing with me, whether it's whether it was prophetic or whether it was the past, whether it's about my own sin. Let take it in as God imparting his infinite knowledge to raise you up to be like himself. That's the reason he saved us, so we become like himself. Just think, we'll get a little of that in the redemptive work. Under four, the knowledge of God is always based upon truth. The foundation for his knowledge is truth. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he shall lie. So when you come to the Bible, you know that it's a knowledge of God and it's absolutely true. He is the God of truth, for he is the truth. Isaiah 65:6, bless me with thy truth, and I'll swear by thy truth, the truth of God. By him our actions are weighed. I want you to read 1 Samuel 2:3. Just think of this. Think of all the things that we do. God is weighing what we do. Just someone get that. 1 Samuel 2:3. What you think about that? Just think, every time you do something, God knows whether it is deception on your part, whether it's sincerity on your part, whether you're exaggerating or diminishing the truth. He weighs, he knows each one of us intimately. If I would have known that younger, when I was your age, young guys, I could have saved myself a lot of trouble. But, you know, I know there's a God, but I didn't know how personal he is. And his knowledge is able to understand everything about you and me and the rest of us. In Psalm 119:104, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. It is, the law is thy truth. Psalm 119:151, thou art near, O Lord, all thy commandments is truth. And 2 Samuel 7:28, and now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words are true, and thou hast promised this goodness into thy servant. Look down here, his knowledge as it has to do with his lordship. He chose Abraham and his descendants. Did he know what kind of a man Abraham was? Yeah, Abraham was caught up in idolatry when he had the knowledge that he's an idolater, yet he chose him. That's the lordship of his knowledge. The covenants that God made with man according to his knowledge and purpose. Genesis 17:2, I will multiply thee exceedingly. That was the covenant. Exodus 6:4, I will give you the land of Canaan. Numbers 25:12, a covenant made with Phinehas because Phinehas was zealous for the honor of God. Psalm 89:28, Psalm 89 is a messianic psalm, and it's a promise that God made to the Son that of his throne it would be forever, and his seed would be forever. And that's the reason why we can hear today. We know that if we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall live forever with him. And under, let's go to B. Well, we did cover that. Under C, his knowledge as to selecting a people for himself before he created the world. You're here today. Just think, it's amazing. Just think, he had knowledge of each one of us that he would call into his divine sheepfold. Think of that. He knew each one of us in our sins, yet he chose us to be part of his divine sheepfold. How did he know that? Because he's a God of knowledge. And that's what we want to impress upon ourselves, that as we live out this life, we can trust him, because he knows all about us. There's nothing that is hidden. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. There's nothing that he has to learn. There is nothing that's going to come up and happen that he didn't know about it. Continuing under his knowledge has to do with his lordship. Look under D. His judgments are based upon his knowledge. In Proverbs 5:21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. He pondereth all his goings. And then in Psalm 67:4. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously in government. He judges righteously because he has all knowledge. And look at Jeremiah 16:17. Mine eyes are upon all their ways. One of my favorite verses is Hebrews 4:13. Anybody know what Hebrews 4:13 is? Yes. That's good, but Hebrews 4:13 says, everything is naked and open before the eyes of whom we have to do. I love that verse, because I don't deceive myself in knowing that everything is naked before him. And when I do sin, I can run away, confess it, and don't let, keep short accounts. See, God knows our frailty. And do you think he don't know our frailty, that we have sin indwelling in us? But he has his spirit dwelling in us so that we don't have to be conquered. We don't have to be ruled by sin. We can be governor over our lives. Yes, sometimes you'll fail, but there is forgiveness from the Lord Jesus that he may be feared. Let's continue. Oh, by the way, look at this last one. E. Here we are. He knows whether we own him as Lord. I want to repeat that. He knows whether we own him as Lord. I have a little track that says, is Christ Lord of your life? If he's not Lord of your life, then he's not Lord. I mean, yes, he's Lord, but there's no saving grace. Yeah. They think, oh, God don't see. Yes, he does see. And he sees each one of our hearts here this morning, this afternoon. Okay, let's go to your back, and I'll go to another page. God knows all things possible. Oh, I love this. Now, how many of you know when David was in Keilah? How many of you know about that? Just think. Now, I want you to concentrate it. God knows all things possible. Let me illustrate it. David and his man, he was running from Saul. The Philistines were attacking Keilah. And God says, David said, should we help them out? He said, yes, help them out and defeat them. I'll help you defeat them. Okay, he defeated them. And then they found refuge in Keilah. And David, knowing Saul, how he would be searching for him everywhere, he said, this King Saul, will he come after me? God said, yes. He said, will Keilah turn me over to them? God said, yes. In other words, he knew all things that would happen. That's what I'm trying to press upon you. And of course, David left. Then look at this next one. What Tyre and Sidon would have done. Jesus said to Chorazin and Bethsaida, if the works would have done that are done in you were done to Sidon and Tyre, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. And he said, it's going to be more tolerable for them and the judgment day will be for you. And to Capernaum, he said, if the work would have been done in Sodom as it was done in you, it would have remained to this day. And it's going to be more tolerable on judgment day for Sodom than it is for you, Capernaum. Yeah.
So essentially God knows every potential possibility of every...
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to get... Thank you. And then look here at what would have happened if King Joash had struck the ground with arrows. Well, I'm not going to take time for that, but I want to share something personal with you. When I look back over my life, and my first pastor, and some of you have heard me say this before, I was determined to be the best example I could be as a pastor. But but because I'm doing everything, the buses, the food, total ministry, I didn't take care of most important, and that's what Bob Dock, Pastor Bob does, the Word of God. And I thought to myself, God knowing all things possible, what could he have done if I would have forgotten about these other things and just concentrated on the preparation of studying the Word of God? What could he have done, all things possible? I want you to look back over your life. What might have he wanted to do for you, but you didn't give it because you neglected? To me, this really spoke to me. All things possible. What might he have done in your life if you took his word seriously? I think in my preparation, that spoke to me more than anything else I'm going to say to you. What he would have liked to have done if I would give myself over in the right way. Any comments? Okay. Under Roman number 7. God's knowledge is infinite even to the smallest detail. How many young men, how many hairs do you think are on your head? He knows every one. I'm losing mine, but he knows every one of our hairs upon our head. You know what my brother did? Rest his soul. He's not with us anymore, but he had a bald spot upon his head. And he didn't want people to know, so he put a patch down there and he tried to make them believe it wasn't real. No, he knows the hairs upon our head, which means he knows each one of us intimately. Just think, intimately. Under B, he knows every event from the smallest to the greatest. And there you see Hebrews 4:13 and Jeremiah 23:24. I don't know. I want someone to get Jeremiah 23:24. Get you involved. In other words,
that's what I wanted to read. I wanted to read Psalm 139. Because heaven and earth is like Solomon. If I go to the highest heaven, thou art there. If I go to the lowest hell, thou art there. If I take the wings of one, to the uttermost part of the sea, thou art there.
You can't let that grip your heart and not let it affect you. You cannot, if you cannot let it become so consolidated within you to know that God knows intimately all about you, that it can't, that it won't affect your life. You can't. At least I can't. A sparrow cannot fall to the ground without the Father. So, and then in the next, in his care for all his creative work. Do you think he doesn't care for the sparrows? Do you think he don't care for the little hummingbird that that beats his wings 50 times in a second? No, he's mindful. In Psalm 145, 15, 16, it says that he opens his hands and satisfies the need of every living thing. We have squirrels in our front lawn, and he provides for them. He provides for the birds of the air. He provides for the creeping thing. There's nothing he doesn't provide for. If he created, he knows what he created, and he's going to provide for what he created. Even in the animal world, the marine life, everything. His ways and his thoughts, therefore his knowledge. I want you to think about how far are the heavens above us? How far are the heavens above us? Look what he said.
My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, whereas the heavens are high above the earth, so much higher are my ways than your ways. And my thoughts and your thoughts. Just think of how infinite he is in his knowledge of each one of us. This is two things. Not only should it cause us to reverence him, but it should cause us to have confidence in him because he knows all about what I'm going through. And when you forget that, then the trial becomes a mountain instead of a little hill.
Look at Roman numeral 8. His knowledge is seen in all his creative work. I want you to consider the knowledge it took as recorded in Isaiah 40, 12 to 14. This is really good. Someone gets Isaiah 40, verses 12 to 14. Just think of this. Here he gives it layman language we can understand, like a contractor. This is really good. Someone read it. He uses human language so we can understand. We know what it is to measure if you're a contractor or whatever, building something, but look how he measures. Jeremiah 51, 5, listen to these words. He stretched out the heavens with his understanding. He established the world by his wisdom. He created the earth by his power. Just think of his infinite, infinite knowledge. And then Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God. And remember in Isaiah 6:3, it says, and the seraphim cried out, holy, 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 the whole earth is filled with thy glory. This is a testimony to his creative work and the knowledge that made it possible. Look at the seasons of the year. We're going into the autumn right now. Then it'll be winter. The floral beauty, the grandeur of winter, all the fruit that comes out of the ground, the animal life, the marine life, the feathered flocks of the air, above all, man that we just talked about a little bit earlier. Just think of the knowledge of all this. Yes.
You read 19:1, but not verse 19:2. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge.
Oh, thank you, Bob. Thank you. Repeat that again. Repeat that again. Repeat that again.
Psalm 19:2. Yeah. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge.
That's the reason why when Pastor Bob determined to speak on the attributes of God, why this is so good, because it helps us understand more who God is. And it helps us to more understand that we should reverence him, that we should have gratitude toward him, that we should be willing to serve him, as I said earlier. Under Roman numeral 9, the knowledge of God is seen in his omniscience and the future. Let me ask you, maybe you haven't gotten to it yet. Why is it necessary for God to have omniscience? I haven't been able to get you started. Boy, Pastor Bob is good at this. He's good at getting people to interact. And I'm not. But I can talk, but I'm not good at getting people to interact. But why is it absolutely necessary for God to have omniscience? That he have omniscience to establish his sovereignty, and as we said, to prophesy the future.
God doesn't know all things, and he's not God.
Exactly. Do you think God didn't know about Hurricane Harvey? Do you think he didn't know about Hurricane Irma? Do you think he did not know about what happened to Barbuda? Do you think he didn't know about the fires that raging in Washington? Do you think he didn't know about this man that went on a rampage in Nevada? And you say, why didn't God intervene? If God had the knowledge, why didn't God intervene? If God was to intervene on every sinful act, then he'd have to intervene when we commit the smallest sin. But God will use that for his own. Yes, Anne-Marie.
You just took words out of my mouth. I was going to say that God uses all these things to his glory, so that when these horrible things happen, he uses them to draw us closer to him so that we should know him more.
You know, just a book, he said, you know, I've been talking to not people in the church, but
he has the knowledge to do it too. He knows how to go about putting things into our path to drive us more back to it, just like Daniel was saying. Let's get back to our outline. I want Acts 15:18, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Isaiah 46:10. I don't know if I have that or not. Someone get 46:10, please. Isaiah 46:10, please. See, that says thank you. That is so that we have confidence in him. You see, I don't think any of us have the right confidence that we should have in him. But because he has all knowledge, we should be able to trust him in everything. Follow me as we come. Is there nothing we can say under B? God doesn't have to count the stars or the grains of the sand. Everything is present in his consciousness. Psalm 147:4. He telleth the number of stars. Just think, and he calls them all by name. Just think of that. He calls all the stars by name. Just think of the hundreds of billions of stars. There's a few billion men, women. Just think of how much he knows about each one of us. He calls them all by name. And then this next one here. Look here. Nothing we say or do can escape his knowing. And this goes back memory lane. There was a pastor. Okay, let's come back here to hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more the hearts of the children of men? And look under E. Our lives are an open book. No one can hide from God. When you have too many papers, you get kind of lost. Well, that's what's. I have so many papers up here. Our lives are an open book. No one can hide from God. Jeremiah 23:24, Proverbs 15:3, Ezekiel 11:5. You know why I gave you that book today? I gave you that book because I want you all to look at Psalm 90:8. I gave you that book because I want you to read Psalm. And Anthony, would you read it, please? Psalm 90:8. Yeah.
You have placed our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence.
Our secret sins in the light of his presence. And that's why I gave you that book, Secret Sins. You know, the man who wrote that book lived only to be 44 years old. But when you read that book, you'll see how much he knew God. He really, I read it again and again. It's a great blessing. I encourage you all to read it. God knoweth in infinite detail every sin we commit. Our sinful actions are evaluated according to his standard. His standard is truth. Roman numeral 10. God's knowledge seen in his redemptive work. I want to ask you a question. How could God, and let me go back. It was in my first interim pastorate, and I was going door to door. I might have said, some of you remember this before. I was going door to door to the people there in Hicksville, and they all Roman Catholic. And everyone said, if they knew us, they said, no, we're Roman Catholic. We're Roman Catholic. Well, this one home I came to, I just stopped and I said, ma'am, could I ask you a question? She said, yeah. I said, how can a sinful man like me stand before God on judgment day and not be?
in Psalm 89:14. The habitation of God's throne is righteousness and judgment, and it was poured out on Calvary's hill. That's how he can be just and embrace sinners like you and I. Just think of that infinite wisdom to come up with salvation's plan. Oh, Marvin, I want you to read. This is so good. I want you to read Romans chapter 11, 33 to 36, because this sums it all up. Romans 11, 33 to 36. Praise his wonderful name. Just think, what, in other words, the Apostle Paul, he couldn't express himself enough about God's redemptive plan to save sinners. Just look on here, and then we're soon done. The way back for a sinful man was already prepared by God's divine knowledge. You heard me say before, the necessity of the cross, it was not an afterthought. But look, his knowledge is exact for the keeping and blessing of his people. He knows how to bless us. Yes, sometimes he has to chasten us, but he knows how to bless us. He knows how to keep us. And he knows how to bring us safely home to glory. Before I read the application, any questions? Well, just a few thoughts here. Sometimes when we go through difficult times, we need to remember Job. Listen to what Job said. There was a time when Job thought he seemed all alone. He said, the Lord seemed very far away. He said, on my left hand, where he doth work, I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But notice these next words, the very next words. But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job 23:10. Let me repeat that. He knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. How good that is when you're going through a trial. Secondly, the omniscient gaze of the Lord is upon all our doing. Nothing by chance. Nothing by chance will happen, because the builder, those in our Lord's day rejected him, but the rejected one is made the head of the corner, Lord over all. Listen to these words from Philippians 2:5-8. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, and he took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God had also highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Yes, he is exalted on the high. And the key to knowledge is Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and I gave you the verses I quoted before. Proverbs 2:4-5. If you seek wisdom as for silver, and search for her as for hidden treasure, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Memorize those verses. I did. It so caught me just a couple months ago. I was reading that. So caught me. I thought, I got to memorize that. Do the same. Then, thankful reverence should occupy our hearts, for we know, might not know what the day might bring forth. thankful reverence should occupy our hearts, for we know God, as God said. And the only way to have a biblical view of knowledge is not through head knowledge, but through heart knowledge, with a view to love God and others. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro over all the earth to show himself strong to that one whose heart is perfect toward him. God looking for men and women, young people. He's looking for young people too, to be his standard bearer. When I see young men like you, I thought, how wonderful for God to use you. And she could go, and I don't think I gave you. Yeah.